This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back out of here on The Fan. It's time for the narrative. I have talked to all my friends in the desert, Nick. We are going to give you the five best games and what the narrative is for each one attached to it, mixed in with some inside information and everything else.
So this is Big Mo, Skinny Pete, Left Eyed Pete, Other Pete.
We don't reveal names
of the friends
in the desert. They are friends in the desert. I don't want to keep them friends in the desert.
Now, I don't want to get buried in the desert.
But this
That's
is how Vegas
sure.
is seeing these games. We'll see if you agree or if you don't. We start with Northwestern and Ohio State. Northwestern getting 30.5 points in this one, over under at 43.5. The narrative here, Ohio State is going to be looking ahead towards Indiana and Michigan. People, my friends in the desert, are backing Northwestern. They're backing Northwestern hard on this one. Northwestern with the top 30 defense. They're looking to be bowl eligible. More Buckeye fans are complaining about noon kickoffs and focusing in on the game itself. Last year, Ohio State favored by 37.5 in this one. They only won by 14. You buy in the narrative, Ohio State already looking ahead towards Indiana and Michigan.
I think Ohio State is afraid of Indiana at all. And by the way, I don't think Michigan's something to look forward to this year. No, I think you're at the point of the season where the stress tests are done. Now it's just don't screw it up. Like I don't think they would look at any of these next three games I know the Indiana one has some cachet on it because of the playoffs, but no, I don't think so. I think this team has kind of proven that they're kind of beyond that.
I wonder if Ryan Day is going to hold some stuff back, though.
Like what? An assault on Lou Holtz?
That would be nice. That'd be a good start, actually. If you could start there, Ryan Day, we might have something to build upon. All right, next up, it's the game of the weekend in college football. It's number 7, Tennessee versus number 12, Georgia. Tennessee, shockingly, they're getting 10 points here, Nick. They're the 7th-ranked team in the country, and they're getting 10 points. The narrative here, Vegas doesn't buy that Georgia has missed a step. Nick, in my mind, Carson Beck against one of the best defenses in the country, it doesn't seem like a fair fight. I like Carson Beck. I don't love Carson Beck. Georgia off an embarrassing loss. Tennessee's D-line is awesome. Carson Beck is seeing ghosts. Tennessee can't score against Georgia in this matchup, though, and that's what a lot of my friends in the desert are leaning towards. Do you buy the narrative that Vegas doesn't buy that Georgia has missed a step?
I think they're going fishing. I think they're trying to fish for some suckers here that people think Georgia's going to have a bounce-back game at home that maybe last week. Because I think there are people who know, hey, Georgia's been this really good team. This is the anomaly. That kind of loss is the anomaly. I think they're fishing for suckers. That's what I think Vegas is doing.
What they're leaning on is the idea that Georgia's played the most difficult schedule in the entire country and arguably has two of the best wins any team in the country has. They're also leaning into the idea that Tennessee's starting quarterback might not even play in this game. But 10 points seems like an absolute ton to give the number 7 team in the country.
I'd take Tennessee in the points. And listen, I think it's going to be a really close game.
Tennessee beat Alabama. Like, what are we doing?
And I don't think it's going to be a pretty game either. But, yeah, if this game was closer to, like, maybe 5 points, I'd probably go in with the idea of I'll lay the points and take Georgia. No, I don't. Give me Tennessee and almost 10 points? Good Lord.
I can't remember the last time I've seen a number 7 team in the country getting 10 points. I'm sure it's happened, but I can't remember it. All right, Commanders-Eagles. Washington plus 3.5. I've seen some spots it's been bet down to even 3, which would make some sense. 48 is the over-under. The narrative here, the Eagles defense is fraudulent. The Eagles' defense has been one of the top units in the league since its Week 5 bye. The overall body of work, though, it becomes less impressive when you consider who they've faced. Deshaun Watson comes into play there. Daniel Jones comes into play there. Cooper Rush comes into play there. That's three really weak quarterbacks in that stretch that a lot of people are leaning on Vic Fangio's defense and saying they've turned this thing around. Washington fans believe that this is the best defense they're going to play on their side of the ball as well. You buy in the narrative that that the Sharps are putting out there. The Eagles' defense is actually fraudulent.
Yeah.
I think the Eagles are actually underrated a little bit. Like, they're the most hated 7-2 team in America.
They're easy to hate, to be fair.
Yeah.
Their fans are obnoxious. Their head coach seems like he's Looney Tunes.
He's a dodo. But I do think, like, Jaden, this is a good matchup for Jaden. And I think this is going to be a much tougher matchup than, let's say, Cooper Rush.
Eagles' last four games have come against defenses that enter Week 11 ranked 26 or worse in DVOA. So they're getting it on both sides of the ball when it comes to the advantages for offense and defense. All right, we go to what might be the game of the weekend, the Chiefs and
Brown
the Bills.
Saints.
It's not Brown Saints. The narrative here, Mahomes loves being an underdog. Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes, 11-3 as underdogs. He's got a .786 winning percentage as an underdog. It's almost as good as his career number. Sunday's the second time this year Chiefs have been underdogs. 49ers, 1.5-point favorites in San Francisco in Week 7. Chiefs obviously won that game 28-18. Are you buying the narrative out there that Mahomes loves being an underdog?
I'm sorry. 99% of the time, I would buy it. This week, you heard it here first. The Bills are going to win. Chiefs are going to have their first loss of the season. Yep.
I mean, we play with the underdog mentality again. Last year in the postseason, we watched them be underdogs in every game but the Super Bowl. Leading up to the Super Bowl, they were underdogs. Incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, how do we continue to under... We just don't account for Patrick Mahomes.
This is going to be the one. This is going to be the one. He hasn't been as good this season. The defense is pretty darn good, but it's in Buffalo. Everything tells me this is going to be that rare dog loss for Mahomes and the Chiefs.
I can't wait for this game. If they win this one, they might go 17-0. It might come down to whether they play the bye week hard in week 17, or week 18 for that matter. All right, last up, Baltimore-Pittsburgh. The spread right now is 3. This is a don't-play game for the book of Jonathan Peterlin, by the way. My friends in the desert are scared of this game. They want nothing to do with this game. They have no way of leaning on this game. The narrative that's been built up, though, Lamar Jackson stinks against the Steelers, and you've got to account for it. 1-3 record, 4 touchdowns, 0 rushing touchdowns, 7 picks, 5 fumbles, 59% completion percentage, and a 66 passer rating. Nick, you buying the narrative out there that Lamar Jackson stinks against Pittsburgh?
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a small sample size, but I think you got to pay attention to it because the Steelers are the kind of team that you end up having troubles with in the playoffs. That is, if they have a good quarterback. I think the Steelers are going to win this one. I think this is only going to hammer home that Tomlin's better than Harbaugh and that the Steelers know how to rattle Lamar.
A reminder, a complete no bet for the Jonathan Peterlin book. You cannot bet on this game. And if you're going to, take the points, even though I believe the Ravens are better. It's an AFC North game. How am I gonna just slap 3.5 points potentially in the face?
The Jonathan Peterlin book.
And that is the narrative with Jonathan Peterlin.
Is that a Pharrell on the bench?
I don't know.
That was Pharrell on the bench.
Well, every guy who has his own book has some sort of
voice like this.
So it probably sounds like Pharrell, but I meant it just It's the book guys. That's what they do. The radio book guys.
That was Pharrell.
We kind of skimmed over this yesterday. There were some interesting comments by Jordan Hicks on JOK's injury. And, of course, JOK gets hurt in, what was that, the Baltimore game. Then he goes ahead. He's obviously misses the Chargers game and then ends up on the IR. There's now a chance we might not see him the rest of the year. And then Jordan Hicks said this yesterday and got people super concerned.
Yeah, no, it was tough because, you know, we play this game because we love it. We sacrifice our bodies for it. We understand the risks that come that are involved in it. But at the end of the day, you know, you see something like that and it's real life. You know, I look at my life and I've got three kids and a wife at home and it's like, what if I were to come home like that? You know, he's got family that he loves, you know, people that care about him more than just what he can do on the field, right? And so it puts things in perspective and, you know, you hope and you pray that, you know, he's going to make a miraculous recovery.
So it's not just using words like miraculous. It's not just kind of setting this up as being a lot scarier. I think it's a fact that it's, what, 2 or 3 weeks removed from the injury that we're hearing these comments. And we didn't really hear anything like this 3 weeks ago when the injury first happened.
Yeah.
It was silence on Main Street.
Yeah, well, and we're still very much in the dark right now. That's kind of the hard part about talking about this is like we're trying to figure it all together. When he speaks the way that he speaks, though, and says words like miraculous, you're wondering, what do we not know right now, Nick?
Yeah, and there's just, the things that bug me with this organization are, I continue to have to come back to this expression, it doesn't have to be that hard. And for some reason, whether it's deciding who makes the decision on whether a guy plays or not, it's always a player's decision. And then Jed conveniently gets benched after making the player decision, which was to not play when he was not 100%.
Yeah.
But again, those two things weren't linked. We would never do that sort of thing. or whether it's just how they like express injuries.
Like, how about Deshaun last year?
Like, this is, listen, it's not unheard of. Because Deshaun, the Baker thing, actually like 3 points with a Deshaun injury.
That's what I'm talking about. Like, and down to the players on the team didn't even know what was going on with the injuries. But like they misled us and often in that whole entire discussion.
Or they didn't know what was going on. Like it doesn't have to be this hard. And it's just so like, listen, I'll be honest with you. That is a piece of information. If JOK's career's in danger, that is something that I think that Browns fans deserve to know. And I don't know why you would shield that information. And now the obvious thing is, well, we want to protect the player. I don't think you protect the player by not being truthful or forthcoming with the injury. And the I don't know thing is fine, but at least admitting that this could be a long-term serious injury or cost him his career, we shouldn't be finding this stuff out through the locker room.
Yeah, I didn't even consider the idea that it would cost him his career. And now these are the conversations we're having. I mean, that's alarming.
Yeah, and it's just, I continue to come back to, this is absolutely the case of failing on a pretty significant level. Like, we used to chide the Browns for majoring in the minor. Well, this is failing at your major. Like, this is one of four things that we can grade you on is the dissemination of information when it comes to injuries.
Yeah, I guess I'm curious, why do they believe we don't deserve the right to know this?
Or whether they're afraid of saying the wrong thing. It's not that hard. And it's not uncommon that one thing, right? Like Ron Rivera at the end of his time in Carolina, there was a weird situation with Cam's foot. But Cam was trying to play.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Cam was going to play and then played, and clearly he wasn't healthy enough to play. So that's not the same thing as we don't know if he's going to play or not. That's not the same thing as we don't know what the injury is. Like that, like it's just, and there's one player every year at least. This year it's Jed, now JOK. Last year it was Deshaun. I can probably think of more than one player a year, by the way. And it's just like,
yeah, I'm
why?
Even thinking about like the weird timeline around Nick Chubb even, right? Like there was a lot of vagueness attached to Nick Chubb and his timeline.
Like I just don't understand it, and I would like to understand it because I give you a pass. If you could make it intelligible to me.
I think we have like 3 different guys in the offensive line entering this year where the timeline seemed really weird and not right and murky.
But it just, and the fact that it's at a player who I really like and respect, like as a person, love what he stands for.
Should be a cornerstone of this team moving forward.
And I think he has become, in short order, a very big fan favorite. Man, it was the first thing, like, well, okay, not, the first thing was concern for JOK personally. Mm-hmm. Are you okay? Football secondary. I agree with everybody who said that. And the second thing was, good God, again? Like, it doesn't have to be like that, because what that paints to me is that you just don't have everything wrapped up the way you should. That paints to some level of dysfunction or lack of communication. And that is a sign of an organization that is in over its head. And I don't like that we're saying that about guys who've been here for now 5 years. We'll get back to the JOK stuff, obviously, as we get more information, if that ever happens. One final segment of the show, in case we missed it, next on 92.3 The Fan.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.